So this morning after the service, Steve comes up to me. Steve is a master plumber and electrician in town. And he says, we're going to take care of the hot water legality for you. So praise the Lord, all right? I just want to make sure. Somebody said, your conscience is a little overactive, Pastor Long. That's okay. It may be and it may be not, but one thing's for sure is that if something bothers me, I want to take it to the Lord and make it right. You don't ever want to go against conscience. Never good to do that. We'll see how it goes. I offer it to the Lord. All right. Philippians chapter 4. And Laurie hit on this just a little bit. Not my wife, Laurie. She hits on me on other things. I'm talking about Laurie Reed. Philippians chapter 4 is what we're looking at tonight. What fruit of the Spirit do you see evidence of in verse 1? What fruit of the Spirit do you see evidence of? What is it? Verse number 1. We see that? That's true. I'm looking for the other one. Last word in verse 4. Beloved. So I'm looking for the fruit of love there. He mentions it twice. Dearly beloved. Dearly beloved. Anybody like to be dearly beloved? Not a tolerated relative, but dearly beloved. Very important. Love is the greatest thing that can happen in a church. Loving people. Loving people. Do you see a fruit of the Spirit in verse 4? What fruit would that be? You already said it in verse 1. It's there too. Joy. Love, joy. Make it real easy for you tonight. In verse 7, what fruit of the Spirit do you see? Peace. Love, joy, and peace. Now, love, when's the last time you said to someone, I love you? And really meant it. Whether it's another believer, family member, friend, or listen to this, even a foe. How can you tell someone who's an enemy, I love you? Because Christ loves them and He gave Himself for them. We can love anyone because Christ loves us. That's why. When's the last time you had a really enjoyable time? Well, we heard the ladies' testimony. Sounds like they had a really enjoyable time with one another. My wife whispered to me at that 12 or 1 a.m. talk, and she said, I'd have been gone about 8:30 or 9. Could you imagine me trying that? I said, no. She starts snoring about 8:45. So I'm just, I don't ever hear her snore. I'm just laughing. We're usually a go to bed a little earlier, get up a little earlier. Me, I go to bed late and get up early too. I don't know why. It's my makeup, and I don't mean the stuff you put on your face either. When's the last time you really enjoyed yourself? What were you doing? Who were you with? What was going on? I mean, one of those occasional, your stomach hurts, you're laughing so hard type of situation. Or is your joy always augmented by some problems going on in life? Always cutting it the legs off the table. Love and joy and peace. When's the last time you had a peaceful contentment, which is a calming resolve in your heart that surpasses whatever's happened in your past, whatever's happening right now, or whatever's going to happen in the future? You just have a peaceful contentment that God is God and you're resting in Him. Tonight's message is just one verse with several applications from other verses. Philippians 4:6. In the sandwich of love and joy and peace, we see trouble, a lot of trouble, all forms of trouble coming our way. And we are commanded in Philippians 4:6. Read it out loud, please. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Tonight's message in is love, joy, and peace through prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that you would open up your word to us tonight. We thank you for your loving kindness to us through Jesus Christ. We thank you that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We thank you for everlasting love and eternal love that is never going to change, no matter how we behave ourselves. It's not based upon our performance, but your perfecting love is based on your perfection. And we're so thankful for that, dear Lord. Love and joy, or the presence of the Lord, is going to be the greatest joy and is the greatest joy we could ever have. And then, dear Lord, that peace in our hearts. We don't always know what's right, dear Lord, but we want to do it. And we're thankful that you will never cast us out. You'll never leave us nor forsake us because you love us. You enjoy being with us. And it's such a peaceful and still moment in our heart and our life to be alone with God and to pray. Thank you for those times when we can pray together to the Lord and strengthen and encourage one another. But most of the time, we're alone. But we're never alone when you're there. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This word careful here would be the idea of anxious. Be careful for nothing. This word is a word meaning torture. Torture. It's a picture of a man hanging by four ropes. One arm over here, one arm over there, one leg back over here, one leg back over there. There's a horse over here, a horse over here on the right, a horse behind him on each side. He's hanging, being tied to these four horses. And in these former Olympic times, they would smack the back of the horse and try to pull this man apart as a means of entertainment. And the man was usually a Christian. That's no good, is it? Torture. Paul was saying here, by way of spiritual application, that our souls can be tortured, torn in many ways through the trials of life, and we best stop and take time to pray. Our hearts need to be restored, renewed, and revived on a regular basis. Just some ways of remembering this. Worry about nothing and learn to pray about everything. Turn your problems into platforms to pray. A solicitation to worry from Satan is a call to prayer from God. I like that one. A solicitation to worry from Satan is a call to prayer from God. Prayer is our very first word here. Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer. So when our soul is torn in many different ways, we need to stop and go to prayer. Has it gotten that bad that we need to pray? That's a little joke in the past that we say every now and then. Has it gotten that bad that we need to pray? Well, folks, the world is a bad place. And we need to be praying all the time. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And then that old, one of these old Southern gospel songs, have a little talk with Jesus, makes it right. How many like that? Anybody? Okay. One more time now. Now that's okay. I think you've heard it before. But we do need to have a little talk with Jesus. In fact, we need to have a longer than a little talk with Jesus on most of the time. We need to be speaking with the Lord all throughout the day, taking our problems in life, not only our problems in life, but just enjoying the Lord Himself. You know, if you don't talk to people, you're not going to have much of a relationship with them. Did you know that? In fact, one of the forms of a dying relationship is that people no longer want to talk to one another. We've got to talk to one another, and it's got to be respectfully too. It's got to be graciously with one another. You failed me, so I don't want to talk to you anymore. Well, thank God he doesn't treat us that way. Amen? Yes or no? It's true. No, only the Lord is the one who's passed the perfect test. And by the way, somebody I want to pray for tonight, I want to pray for Brother Harold, Betty Lou. Harold's got a lot on him because the niece passing away. He's got so much work to do with this insurance business. And on and on and on to help with this situation. So I want all of you to pray the Lord give Harold strength and wisdom to carry these things through. Sorry, Harold, I should ask you ahead of time. If we pray for Harold to have wisdom on these things, how about it? Ask the Lord to help him tonight. Okay. It's a privilege for us to take things to the Lord in prayer. In its simplest form, it's just talking to God. This isn't a big, deep theological, but it's just a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And it is a privileged access given to every believer the very moment we trust Christ as our Savior from our sins. We have a privilege to go to the Lord in prayer. You know, an unsaved person just can't call out to God anytime they want and God hear them. He never promises that in the book. Did you know that? But he does for the believer. Now, we have a hard time sometimes getting our prayers through, whatever, particularly if we're not rightly relating to our wife, you know, husbands. We can hinder our prayers if we get bitter toward our wife. The Lord does say that in 1 Peter. But when we have sinned, we have access to the throne of God through Him, even when we've sinned. How do you know that? Because 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God must be listening. Amen? Who are we confessing them to? The Lord. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we do need to talk to the Lord and tell Him about our struggles to do what is right and keep a clean heart before Him. And He won't despise us for admitting our weakness, but He'll help us. God will not despise us for admitting our weaknesses, but He will help us. Prayer is actually a command from God. Go pray to your Father in secret, and He will reward you openly. Our next word here tonight is prayer itself, the general term, supplication. Don't be torturing yourself with the things of life. Be careful for nothing, but start praying, start talking to God. And then supplication is a realization of who you're talking to. Supplication is a military term. It means you have a superior officer. And that means he has more power, more ability to accomplish your desired request. My brother David is a salesman. Somebody said he could sell a snow cone to an Eskimo. I don't know. I must be a pretty good salesman. You know, you ever heard stuff like this? But anyways, he calls and this is what he says. Are you the person who has the power to make the final decision? If the person says no, he says, well, then can you connect me with that person? There's no use wasting time with somebody who can't make the decision, right? So that's a little sales pitch there for you. You call somebody up. Hello, Verizon. Yes, my bill's been overcharged. Are you the person I... Well, give me all the information, please. You give them all the information. And then they say, now let me transfer you. And you know what happens when they transfer you? What do they say? Please give me your name. What's your account number? What's your address? Have you got fingerprints from your mother-in-law? I mean, it just goes on. Amen? Same information all over again. So please just connect me with the person that can make the decision, has the power to make the decision. Folks, the superior officer is God. He's not only superior over everybody in your life, He's superior over every being that's created, whether they are visible or invisible, principalities and powers. He is Lord over all. In heaven, in hell, all things in the past, everything in the present, everything and every event in the future, He's Lord. He's the superior one. He's the one that we need to talk to. He reigns in the affairs of men. He raises up one and takes one down. Why does He do it? He does it for His own glory. This is coming soon. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Are you looking forward to that day? I am. In Ephesians chapter 3, this always challenges my prayer life because I got a little minuscule prayer life sometimes. Little minuscule, you know. Big problems, little God. When actually we have a big God with little problems to Him. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. Now unto Him that is able. See, that's somebody who has the power. To do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now that's power. Doesn't even come in our mind. God has more power than that. According to the power, that's Holy Spirit yieldedness. According to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, all God's people. Say amen. And that's a call to say amen to the Lord's power in prayer. So we see talking to God, prayer here, if we're not going to be tortured in life. How many of you have ever been tortured through things in life? Well, believe me, I've been tortured. We're talking emotionally. You ever been tortured, yes or no? Yes, we have. Anything torn your life up? Anybody here got a broken heart over something tonight? That's what we're talking about. The answer is probably every one of us. But you want to keep a sensitive heart. You don't want to have a calloused heart. Somebody said, well, my heart was broken over here, and I'm going to take my heart back and going to put all kind of barriers around it. That's going to be callous then. And here's the grace of God. You got to keep your hands open to God and to people too. This is how to live. Other than that, we're going to have a calloused heart. I don't think anybody really wants a calloused heart. We want an open heart to the Lord. Thanksgiving is our next word. You know, I appreciate thankful people. Anybody here appreciate a thankful person? Don't you appreciate when someone says thank you for something that you've done for them? Somebody said a kind word goes a long way, doesn't it? And it's true. Hebrews 13, 15 through 16. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God gives us things often to share them with other people. You ever thought about that? What good are things if we can't share them with others? Now, I don't like sharing my toothbrush. That's something good I don't want to share with others. There are some things, amen? But you know what I mean. You know what I mean. Ephesians 5, 19 through 20. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I like that chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich yet free. Thankful people. You know, sometimes a person will ask for something and you have the ink's not even dry on the check yet and they send you another request. I don't like being on mailing list. How about you? Sometimes people say, can you make a donation? May I have your email address? No. May I have your home address? No. You know why they want your email address and your home address? Tell me why. To send you the next envelope to put the cash in and send the next gift. That's why. Folks, it's just a God thing to be thankful. To be thankful. Did you hear about the atheist walking in the woods who's chased by a bear? Atheist is walking in the woods. And he's just walking through, you know, this atheist, and he's saying, what majestic trees, what powerful rivers, what beautiful animals, he says to himself. When he was walking along the river, he heard a rustling in the bushes, and behind him, he turned to look. There was a 7-foot grizzly up there, bear charging toward him. He ran as fast as he could, fell in the path, looked over his shoulder, and there was a bear right on top of him. And then he says, oh my God! The atheist says, oh my God! And right then, everything froze. Here's the bear with one hand, you know, paw up like this, getting ready to... Time stopped. The bear froze. The forest was silent. A bright light shone down upon the atheist, and a voice came out of the sky and said, You deny my existence for all these years and teach others I don't exist, even credit creation to some cosmic accident. Do you expect me to help you in this predicament? Am I to count you as a believer? The atheist looked directly into the light and said, it will be hypocritical of me to suddenly ask you to treat me as a Christian now, but perhaps you can make the bear a Christian. Very well, said the voice. The light went out. The sounds of the forest returned. The bear dropped his paw and said, "Dear Lord, thank you for this meal I'm about to participate in." Amen. Thank you for your bountiful treasures. Isn't that the truth, folks? Thank you for your bountiful treasures. Well, folks, being thankful to the Lord is very important. A thankful spirit unto the Lord. Are we thankful for what we already have before we make another request? It's a pattern of God to give thanks before we make another request. It's the pattern of God to give thanks to Him before we make another request. That's a good request for children to parents too. Wait. Did you give thanks for the last thing I did for you? Very important. Philemon verses 4 and 5. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love, faith, which thou hast for the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. If you have anybody who loves you, thank God for them. If you have anybody who tries to encourage you to have faith in God, thank God for those people. If anybody says to you, have faith in God, thank God for them. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, when you're enjoying the Lord, he actually can change some of those desires too. Before you make another request, give thanks for what God has already done. And then, folks, the next thing in verse 6 is, make your requests. Let your requests be made known unto God. Does God want us praying? He does. He wants us asking Him for things in people's lives. He doesn't want us to stop praying. He wants us to pray for one another. Praying for one another is a good work. We're supposed to abound with good works. You know, if you want somebody to pray for some things, ask them to help you in prayer. Would you help me pray about this? It's a good thing to ask somebody to help you join together in prayer about something. Make your requests and make sure you make them unto God. We were playing basketball, Joshua and I, a couple days ago. A couple guys over at OLT over here, Old Upcoming Township, the court outside, and a couple guys got together, and blacks, whites, Hispanics, on and on. And so we're all playing ball over there. And one of the guys says, "Hey, Rev, we don't have any money. Can we go get something at McDonald's?" And a couple little kids, you know, they're watching and everything. I said, "Sure." Cost me about $30. So here we are all sitting down. I don't want to promote McDonald hamburger, by the way. Little augment. But anyways, I barely got to the parking lot and I was still hungry. So anyways, while we were sitting there, I said, everybody had their food. I got the bags, you know, we sit down at the table. And I said, "Okay, fellas, let's thank the Lord." And one of the guys is like, his face, you know, just kind of twisted a little bit. He reluctantly bowed his head, you know. And I said, "Lord, we thank you for the food you gave us. In Jesus' name, amen." Now, I didn't make a show in front of McDonald's, but I was going to be a pattern of godliness for those unsaved fellas. I wanted to let them know that God... we wanted God to perform a miracle. What do you mean? Bless this food to our body. You like that one? How many of you asked for some miracles? Amen. Every day. Well, we're looking for places where we can be thankful to the Lord. Well, I remember Dale Reed. Anybody remember Brother Dale Reed? Worked for the Postal Service. Wife passed away at 60-something. He passed away at 90-something. He says to me, "Pastor Long?" I said, "Yes, Mr. Reed." "Make sure you tell your wife every day that you love her and give her a kiss." I said, "Yes, sir, I'll try to do that." One day he showed up on a Tuesday, dressed in his nice little suit. He said, "Pastor Long, where are all the people?" I said, "Oh Lord, give me wisdom to help not embarrass Mr. Reed." I said, "Oh, they... our service is tomorrow night, Wednesday." He said, "Oh, okay." He thought it was Sunday. And one of the ways in which we can help people is to pray for others going through things like that. And that brings me to Sylvia Gore, Laurie. Sylvia needs to be prayed for, and so does Laurie, because Brother Dan is having trouble. And when you love people, you can pray for them. You can pray for them. That's a tough one. It's a tough one, isn't it? See, now we're getting down where they say the rubber meets the road, real life living. And we can love and care for one another when we pray for them in times of need like this. And Sylvia Gore needs your prayers. She needs the help of God to help her. We are to make our request with confidence. Pray with confidence if you really want the Lord's will to be done. Luke 22:42. Jesus said this, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." What was the cup? It was the cup of suffering. What was the particular suffering? Was it just the cross? No, it was separation from the Father for the first time ever on the cross. If we can do this any other way than you being separate from sin as God, as I'm dying here as a human being perfect, if we can do it any other way, let's do it. And the answer is, there wasn't any other way. As far as I know, that's the only prayer where Jesus got his answer, and the answer was no. Think about it. There is no other way. You have to pay the price. You have to be willing to go through the suffering to save sinful men. I'm so glad that the Lord said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Can we have that attitude when we pray about things? Hebrews 4:16. "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." God's asking us to come. Come. Matthew 7:7-8 and verse 11. "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If ye then, being evil, having a sin nature, know how to give good gifts unto your children," naturally, "how much more shall your Father, spiritually, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? If our natural fathers are able to give us good things, how much more shall our heavenly Father be able to do it?" So by way of review, instead of being torn apart by the things that are going on in our life, we need to go to prayer. We're not to worry, but we're to pray. And when we pray, we're to realize that we are speaking to a superior supplication. We are speaking to the superior one. himself, the Lord. And then we need to give thanks. Don't come to the Lord asking for something else until you have reviewed what you're thankful for already. This works well in human relationships as well. Be thankful for what you already have received. And then finally, I do want you to ask. I want to know what's on your heart and mind so I can participate in fulfilling that request. That's God. That's God. Make your requests. God wants us to ask, and He wants us to ask that His will would be done in this matter. And folks, that's being submitted to the Lord. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Our Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And we pray that we would take this pattern of prayer here, of communicating with you, surrounded by your love and your joy and your peace. And Lord, those are gifts that are available to us. But if we don't pray, we're not going to access them by faith. They're there. You have your hands out to share them. And we have to go to you in prayer to enjoy them. Thank you, Lord, that you are our greatest lover of our soul, our highest joy, and our greatest peace. And all God's people say, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.